This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, one of the most heartbreaking scenes of Holy Week is when Jesus turns, looks Peter in the eyes, just after Peter had denied Him 3 times. And we can all imagine that look. That look of grief that says, I know what you did, and it cuts me to the core. We can only imagine how deeply that look from Jesus bore through Peter to his very soul, which is why he ended up running away in tears and sorrow as he wept bitterly. You see, Peter never wanted it to turn out that way. We never do either, do we? We come here Sunday after Sunday, or Wednesday after Wednesday, or during Holy Week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We confess our sins, we hear that we're forgiven, and we leave with the full intention of wanting to live as God's people, don't we? Saying no to what we know is evil and wrong, and yes to what God has planned for our life that is good and holy. But if you're like me, despite our best intentions, we sometimes do the very things we know we shouldn't do, and we sometimes fail to do the good we know that we should do. And we imagine Jesus looking at us with a disappointing look in His eyes and saying, what you did, what you failed to do, it cut me to the core. That's why it's difficult for us to listen to this scripture about Peter's denial of Jesus, because we've all been there, haven't we? Even though in our heart of hearts we say, I would never deny Him. I would never reject Him. I would never abandon Him. And yet every time we sin, that's exactly what we're doing. In fact, when we get out in the real world, and we're given an opportunity to be a witness for Jesus, well, especially when it might cost us something, especially when it might mean persecution, well, then our resolve dissolves, and we are influenced by the opinions of others, and also influenced by the need to be liked and to be accepted. I notice that Peter tells Jesus in the comfort of the upper room that he would never deny His Lord. And you know what? The Bible says all the other disciples said the same. So after Peter says, Lord, I will never deny you, all the other apostles say, that goes for me too, Lord. I'll never deny you either. Yet later that night, they would all deny Jesus by running away from Him and deserting Him in the Garden of Gethsemane after He was arrested. So remember, Peter was not the only one guilty of denial. He was not the only one guilty of being two-faced when it came to speaking about his relationship with Jesus. The other apostles were guilty. In fact, we're all guilty. That's why it's very wrong and hypocritical of us to listen to this reading tonight and then go, boy, what a jerk that Peter was. I mean, here he goes telling Jesus that he would never deny Him. And what does he do? Just a few hours later, he denies Him 3 times. What a jerk. Why couldn't he be more like me? Yeah, right. We're no better than Peter, are we? In fact, we probably denied our Lord far more than 3 times by the evil things we've done and by the good we've left undone. The fact is, Peter was a very sincere Christian. On many occasions, he did take a stand for his faith. That's why I believe that Peter was deep down truly sincere when he said that he would never forsake Jesus. He really didn't want to. But fear and worry took over when Peter was alone in the dark courtyard, surrounded by questioning and suspicious faces, ready to pounce on him if he were to admit who he really was. At that moment of weakness, his human survival tactics overpowered his spiritual sincerity. And in that dangerous position, he chose denial rather than duty and dedication. We also, like Peter, find ourselves in similar situations in our daily lives as well, don't we? We have the face that we put on at church. We have the face that we also put on at work or at school or in other situations. And you know what? Sometimes our faces are vastly different, aren't they? We have our church face, but then we have the face that we wear everywhere else. Let's face it, we may talk a good talk, but we don't always live it, do we? Oh, deep down, we do want to be faithful witnesses for Jesus by what we say and especially by how we live. We want to stand up for the truth, even when it means sacrifice on our part. But sometimes we're afraid to be faithful witnesses for Jesus at school or at work or maybe even in our own families. We don't want the conflict. We don't want the persecution. My friends, that's exactly why we need to face our denial of Jesus this evening. You see, the only way we can be forgiven is to come face to face with our sin and acknowledge that it's wrong. Only then can we receive forgiveness and a new beginning. That's why Satan wins a huge victory whenever he can get us to trivialize our sin or to think that it's not that big of a deal. Or to try to bribe God by saying, I tell you what, God, why don't you just look away from these sins because I have so many other good works over here that should impress you. Every time we try to diminish our sin or justify it or worse yet, affirm it, we're pushing away the forgiveness and salvation that could be ours. The only hope for any sin in our life, whatever it may be, is that we have to face it for what it is. A denial of God. Rebellion against Him. Rejection of His Word. We have to face the fact that our sin deserves nothing more than God's wrath. We need to realize how serious our sin is because only then are we in a position to be forgiven and restored. We need to realize that if we are afraid to live out our relationship with Jesus at school or at work or in our very homes, then we are indeed denying an essential part of who we are. You see, God doesn't want us just to be Christians for an hour on Sunday or an hour on Thursday night. He wants us to live it out in the way we behave every moment of every day. He's called us to be light and salt in the world, not only by what we say, but also by how we live. You see, my friends, the depth of our relationship with Jesus reveals itself when we're out in the world. We know how strong our relationship is with Him when we're put in a position where we're tested. My friends, if there is no depth in our relationship with Jesus, then we are going to deny Him when the going gets tough, just like Peter did. So you know what needs to happen? We need to go deep, deep into our relationship with Jesus if we really want to be faithful to Him when the going gets tough and not deny Him. But that leads to a big question, doesn't it? How do we go deep in our relationship with Jesus? One way is by remembering our baptism every day. You see, baptism was never meant to be a one-time act that happened in the past that we forget about. Baptism is God's work whereby He adopts us as His own, washes our sins away, and declares us to be His children. But that one-time miraculous act is meant to have an ongoing effect in our lives every moment of every day. That's why Martin Luther taught that every day we wake up, the first thing we should do is remember that we are God's baptized children. So that we will remember who we are and whose we are and let that define the way that we think, speak, and live that day. So one way we go deep into Jesus is by remembering our baptism and what God did for us there. Another way we go deep into Jesus is by being in His Word every day. Now, it's great, praise the Lord, that you're here on Sunday morning and during these services in Holy Week. But I'm going to be blunt with you, my friends. If the only exposure you're getting to God's Word is Sunday morning and maybe a midweek service now and then, that's really not enough. Not near enough to go deep with Jesus. We need to be meditating on His Word every day. Now, I don't mean that you're walking around with your Bibles 24/7 and doing nothing else but that. Of course, that's not what I mean. We all have our vocations and responsibilities and duties. I understand that. What I mean, though, is that we don't compartmentalize our Christian faith to just Sunday morning. We realize that we need God's Word to be feeding us every moment of every day. That's why, even though obviously we don't walk around with our Bibles every day, 24/7, we do take time every day to read Scripture, to meditate on it, maybe even to memorize it. Memorize important passages so that we can take it with us, not only in our mind, but also in our heart. To meditate on it throughout the day, especially when we're being tempted. Another reason we need to study God's Word is not only that we might be strong in our faith, but also that we might be prepared to give an articulate witness for Jesus in this world when God gives us an opportunity. There's a lot of people out there who have a lot of questions, and many of them don't know Jesus. Are you prepared to be an articulate witness for Jesus? The only way you can be is by going deep into God's Word. Why do you think I'm constantly lovingly asking more and more of our members to start making it a priority to not only come to church, but to attend Bible class? I'm going to ask you again lovingly, if you're here on Sunday morning on a regular basis, why not in Bible class? If your excuse is, I went to church, that's enough, well then, Satan's playing with you. We need God's Word as much as we can get it. It's His gift to us. It's how He nurtures us. It's how He allows us to go deep with Jesus. And so if we want to go deep with Jesus, not only do we remember our baptism every day, but we take advantage of the gift that God has given us. His Holy Scripture, His Holy Word in our own language. Some people in the world don't have that, you know. We have God's Word in our own language so that we can not only hear it Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights or Thursdays or Fridays or Saturdays during Holy Week, but we can read it every day. We can meditate on it every day. Besides going to church, we can go to Bible class and go even deeper. That's right. We can go deep into Jesus by being in His Word throughout the week. But there's yet another way that we can go very deep into our relationship with Jesus. You know, I find it interesting that Jesus' prediction of Peter's denial occurs immediately after the institution of the Lord's Supper. This says two things to us. The first thing we learn from this is that the forgiveness of sins granted to us in Holy Communion is not something that should remain encapsulated in church. What do I mean? One way the devil deprives us of going deep with Jesus in the Lord's Supper is that we make this into a meaningless routine. About as meaningless as going through a drive-through at one of the fast food restaurants. No, we should spend time preparing for the Lord's Supper, because what is going to happen here tonight? Receiving the very body and blood of Jesus. We should allow that to influence us and help us to go deep with Jesus as we prepare for this miracle. But even more than that, after we leave this altar, having received the body and blood of Christ, we allow it to go with us. We think about it afterwards. The Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday after having received communion, we should rejoice in thinking, boy, this past Sunday I received the very body and blood of Jesus. He placed His holy body and blood given and shed for me into my mouth. He's gone deep into me so that I can go deep into Him. We should remember the Lord's Supper so that it may inspire us to realize how close Jesus really is to us, and allow that miracle to define the way we live, to define the way we treat one another. Remember what Jesus said? Love one another as I have loved you. Is there fighting and conflict in your home? Not only do you need to repent of the ways you treat each other, just as I need to repent of the ways I sometimes treat my family, but then remember that after receiving communion, one of the things Jesus wants you to do is now love one another as I have loved you. But there's another thing we need to realize about the Lord's Supper. Not only is it a reminder to us that Jesus has placed His own body and blood in us to empower us to live a new life, but the second thing we need to remember about the Lord's Supper that allows us to go deep into Jesus is that it is a constant sign to us that in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our failings, in the midst of all of our sins, we are forgiven. You see, Jesus knows that by His grace, we're going to have victories, especially as we allow ourselves to go deep into Him. But the reality is, despite all of our best efforts, we're going to fall short. Despite all of our best intentions, we're going to deny Jesus. And that's why I think Jesus told Peter that horrible fact about his denial right after the Lord's Supper. He wanted Peter to remember that after he denied Jesus, he could look back on that Lord's Supper that he had received hours before and hear the words of Jesus, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." You see, my friends, when Jesus says that to you, he's not only saying that your past sins are forgiven, he's not only saying that your present sins are forgiven, he's also saying that your future sins are forgiven. And so when, despite all of our best efforts and despite all of our best intentions, we still fall short, we can look back to this holy meal and remember that we have a Jesus who forgives us. You see, after Peter denied Jesus, he looked up and there his eyes met Jesus' eyes. What did Peter see in Jesus' face? What did Peter see that caused him to run away and weep bitterly? Did Peter see a look in Jesus' face that said, "Peter, I hate you. I'm disgusted with you. Don't even bother coming back." No, that's not what Peter saw at all. What he saw in Jesus' face was this: "Peter, I know you feel horrible right now. You need to know something. I forgive you. I always will forgive you. You've just denied me, but I'll never deny you. And that loving glance from Jesus, that look of mercy, is what cut Peter to the core and sent him away to weep bitterly. You see, Peter knew. He knew he was forgiven and that he didn't deserve it. He knew he had sinned against his loving Lord, who was about to die on a cross for him. That's what drove him to his knees, weeping bitterly. And after Peter grieved over his sin, he was able to stand up knowing that he was God's forgiven child because of Jesus, whose shed blood not only forgives our past sins and our present sins, but also our future sins. Yes, even the sins that you and I will commit despite our best efforts after we receive Holy Communion tonight. So we go deep into Jesus through the Lord's Supper, not only by remembering that He is with us and allowing that to empower us to live new lives, but we also go deep into Jesus realizing that in the end, after everything we've done, we still rely on His mercy and His mercy alone. I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. This reminds me of Luther's simple morning and evening prayers. Remember in Luther's morning prayer, he says, "God, help me today to live without sin." That should be our sincere desire as God's baptized and forgiven children who go deep into Jesus. We should strive to live every day without sin. But then in the evening, before he goes to bed, what does Luther pray? Does he pray, "Thank you, God, that I actually accomplished this today. Thank you, God, that indeed I did live without sin, unlike other people I know"? No. Here's what Luther prays in his evening prayer. "Father, for Jesus' sake, forgive me the sins I have done today." You see, despite all of our best efforts, we're going to fall short, if not indeed, at least in desire and thought. We don't want to, but we're constantly struggling not only with our own sin, but also the temptations of the world and the lies of the devil. Yes, by the grace of God, we can learn to turn away from those sins. By the grace of God, as we go deep into Jesus, our behavior can begin to improve. But the reality is, we're never going to find pure holiness and sinlessness this side of heaven. There will never be a day where we don't have to look at Jesus and realize that we need His forgiveness. So, when you receive the Lord's Supper tonight, remember that not only does Jesus want you to remember this miracle, so that by His grace you can live a new life and turn from sin and do the good things He wants you to do, but He also wants you to remember this miracle, especially for those times when you don't. He wants you to remember this miracle for those times when, like Peter, you fall flat on your face. It's then you can lift up your face from the ground and look Jesus in the face and know that He says to you, "I forgive you. Yes, you've just denied me, but I will never deny you. Come to me. Let's start over. I love you." So that's what Jesus is doing for us tonight. He's allowing us to go deep into Him. He's allowing us to face our sin of denial in certain hope, because He faced the cross for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment, we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.